They speak in the name of the living God, who is Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. Amen. Do please take a seat. So Psalm 139 and Zacchaeus. I think it's a tenuous link, but I hope to be able to make it. And I hope to be able to make it with testimony, I suppose. And I want to talk to you this evening about defining moments in life. Those points in your life that make a difference to the rest of your life, whether you realise it at that point or not, because we don't always. So I'm going to start with Zacchaeus. A defining moment in my life was when my parents decided to move to 110 Birkbeck Road, Beckenham, Kent. I can't remember the postcode. But we moved there when I was 5 years old. And we moved there because my dad's job moved. He was in the British Transport Police, and we moved up from Dover, where he was at the port, to London. He was going to work in London, and that was as close as we could get with a house that could be afforded. And probably the house was cheap because it sat next door to an off-licence and a Baptist mission. Two unusual bedfellows, probably. But for me, it was amazing. I spent so much time in the Baptist mission, you'll be pleased to know, rather than the off-licence. I did pop in the off-licence, because those were the days when you could pop next door, couldn't you, for your mum or your dad to get something, and they would give it to you. They had an amazing minor bird there that said very rude things, so that was fun as well. But the Baptist mission was where my childhood faith was developed. So I was there all the time. I was there for brownies. I was there for youth group. I was there for Sundays, and I was there for Bible studies. And Zacchaeus is one of those first stories that I learnt. And going along with that, there's always a song, isn't there? Zacchaeus was a very little man. Remember that one? So the story of Zacchaeus forever imprinted in my mind through that story. And I didn't realise at that point in time how important that grounding was, how defining the care that was given to us kids who went along. And really we went there because it was the easiest place to go. But we sat and we listened to the stories and we got involved. And they seep in, don't they? These things seep in and they get right into the core of you without you actually knowing. So when I came to a crux in my life and suddenly I decided that I was going to turn, it wasn't suddenly, but I decided that actually God wasn't necessary for a while, and I turned my back and I crossed my arms. These things that seeped into my heart and into my soul never went away. Never went away. And when I come back and I read Zacchaeus now, I see some amazing things in there. Things that the chorus can't give definition to. The chorus starts, Zacchaeus was a very little man. And it's an interesting thing to put into the story, because Zacchaeus being a little man in stature, actually his position in society was a big one. He was a man of wealth. He was a man of status. He was a man to be feared. He was also a cheat. He was also a man that took what wasn't his. But there was something in Zacchaeus, as there was obviously something in so many people then, that said, I need to see Jesus. I need to see Jesus. So he goes off, and we're told there are so many crowds that he can't see him. And that's why I laugh about the stature thing, because it doesn't matter whether you're small or tall, you probably couldn't have seen him anyway because of the crowds pressing in on him. But he really wanted to see this man that he'd heard of. He may not have realised why he wanted to see this man that he heard of, but there was something in there that was telling him. So he decided to run ahead. He runs ahead and he climbs a tree. So Zacchaeus is in a tree. He may not have been the only person in a tree. I'm sure there were lots of people that wanted to see Jesus as he was passing by. And as Jesus passed by, crowded round with many folk who want to also see him and touch him and ask for things and listen to his words, Jesus stops at the tree that Zacchaeus is in. He stops at the tree that Zacchaeus is in, and he looks up at him, and he doesn't say, "Oi, mate, what are you doing in the tree?" He says, "Zacchaeus." He knows his name. He knows his name. "Zacchaeus," he says, "come down immediately. What are you doing up there? Come down because I am coming to your house today." Out of all of those people, those crowds of people, all of those folk that he could have chosen, Jesus stops and he recognizes Zacchaeus, and he sees Zacchaeus and he calls him down. So he comes down. He comes down. His heart is gladdened. He gladly comes down. And then it starts, doesn't it? The muttering and the murmuring. "Oh, who does he think he is?" You know. And Jesus, why is he going round to his house? Who does he think? Does he know who he is? Does he know who he is? And that's where my heart starts to sing. My heart starts to sing because I know that Jesus knows my name. I know that Jesus knows your name. And he stops beside you and he calls each and every person by name whilst we are sinners. Whilst we are sinners. He doesn't say, "Zacchaeus, can you go home and give your house a good clean? Can you get your house in order? Can you get your soul in order? Can you put everything right? Then I might deign to come and be alongside you and be with you." He doesn't do that. He says, "I'm coming now. I'm coming now." And at the point at which Zacchaeus has Jesus in his house, has him in his life, then the transformation comes. At that point, Zacchaeus says, "Oh, Lord, now I'm going to change. My life is going to be transformed. I'm going to put right the things that I did wrong. I'm going to put right those transgressions. And I'm not just going to put them right. I'm going to be over generous. I'm going to pay back folk that I've cheated four times as much." And earlier in the week, my son is waiting to get into Kent Police, and it's an agonising wait, I can say. That's for me. I don't know what it's like for Sam. And we had a phone call. We had a phone call from the local sergeant. "I'm coming to your house," he says to Sam. "I'm coming to your house to do the home visit. When's convenient?" So my son says, about an hour and a half. 4 o'clock. So he says, "Mum, the police are coming around at 4 o'clock. Oh, I went into a frenzy of hoovering, dusting, floor washing, pushing things in cupboards. And I did. And Sam said to me, "Why are you doing that?" "He's coming to see me. He's not coming to look at the house." I said, "Oh, no, I just feel better for it." You know? And Jesus doesn't ask us to do that. He doesn't ask us to clean everything else before he comes to our house. He says, "I'm coming to your house now, as you are, as you are." And it's that realization that Jesus knows you for who you are, loves you for who you are, and it doesn't matter the state of your house. That is a defining moment in life. And there are so many people that need to know that defining moment. Because whilst my back was turned and my arms were crossed, God was still there. And God was still pulling me. God was still drawing me. And at one point, there comes a point in when God cracks, gets in. Yeah, the crack is just big enough and it gets through. And I then felt I needed to go. But I felt I wasn't good enough. So I went to a church. I took the brownies for my support. So I'm taking the brownies to church. It's not for me. I'm taking the girls. So I took the brownies to church. And there at church, there it was in the pew sheet. Confirmation. Come and confirm. Come and confirm. Now I'm baptised, not confirmed. Baptised, not confirmed. And that, I just could see nothing else. Could see nothing else on that sheet. And I can't. I can't. It's not for me. That's not right. I'm not in the right place. I'm not worthy. I need to do things first. I need to put my house in order first. But these things niggle away at you, don't you? And they niggle away and they niggle away. And it was by talking to a wonderful lady, the Reverend Hazel Salmon, who is now 86 years old, bless her, and still a confidant, a prayer partner, and the person that tells me the most that Jesus just loves you, Helen. Don't worry, just Jesus loves you. And that's okay. You know, it's okay. She taught me that I was worthy enough, that I was okay. And then Psalm 139, which tells us that God has us written in his book, in his heart, on the palm of his hand, from before our concept of time. He knows who we are. He knows where we are. And he has it covered. He has us covered. He's alongside us and loves us. And when you can recognize that God doesn't need anything but your love in return, then that's another defining moment. Psalm 139 has helped me through various things in my life. It helped me to help me through a miscarriage. It helped me to understand that that precious life was also fearfully and wonderfully made for that short time, and that God knows that child for that, you know, for that short time. And God knows each and every one of us and loves us. When I was working in the police, I met time and time again people who said, "I can't be forgiven. I'm beyond redemption. There's nothing anyone can do for me." To be able to bring the good news of Jesus, to be able to bring that realization that Jesus is standing underneath every person's tree, looking up at them and saying, "Come on down and let me in. Come on down and let me in," is the most wonderful thing, and what we are called to do in our baptized lives as Christians. And I'm very grateful for those people that have been alongside me and helped me to reach those defining moments. And here at St. George's, I have met such people. Another defining moment in my life was the day that I gave the rest of my life in the service of God for his church across the world. And that defining moment has been played out here with you. To preside at the Eucharist has been one of the most, and is one of the most joyful things that I can do and I will ever do. And I've shared it here with you. So this place for me is a place of defining. And I thank you for being alongside me with that. So Psalm 139, my go-to psalm. God, before, behind, beside, hems you in. Sounds a bit scary. Actually, it's amazing. Luke 19, Zacchaeus. Jesus is there and wants to come into every person's home before you clean it. And then he helps you clean it. Then he helps you clean it. So once he's there, he then helps you out. It's not the other way around. Clean it and come. It's come and then clean. Yeah, come and then clean. And if we know that, we can welcome everybody, whoever they are. We can include the whole of humanity. And that's what we're called to do, to love the whole of humanity as Jesus loves us. Amen.